For a long time, Christians could comfortably wave the American flag since their values were represented in Old Glory. Now the government is beginning to repress the freedoms Christians once had, favoring the agendas of those desiring same-sex marriage and unrestricted abortion. When the red, white, and blue no longer blends with the cross of Christ, what do believers do? Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his new four-part series on Christians in Conflict. He comes now with a crucial message on what to do when loyalties collide.
This is the last in a series of four messages entitled Christians in Conflict. The first message was when religions collide. The second message was when beliefs collide, and then when personalities collide. And today, with our theme of patriotism, it is when loyalties collide. We're going to be speaking about church-state issues because the Bible says that we are citizens of heaven and citizens on earth. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, but our polituma, that's the Greek word from which we get the word politics, our politics is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior. But meanwhile, we are commanded to live on earth, and sometimes there are conflicts between our citizenship on earth and our citizenship in heaven. For example, we're living at a time when our own Congress is debating the issue of hate speech and hate laws, laws of hate crimes. The purpose of this is not only to give special recognition to those crimes that are committed against the homosexual community, but also to stifle free speech. And I know that because of what happened in Canada. They had hate crime laws, and lo and behold, when a pastor would speak on the issue of homosexuality, he could be targeted because, after all, that is hate speech. A few weeks ago, I spoke to a pastor in Canada, and I said, can you still read Romans chapter 1 in Canada? And he said, yes, as long as no one is there to report us, there should be no trouble. But we could get into trouble. It could be deemed hate speech. So what do we do in a culture that is committed to stifling what we think is our right, namely freedom of speech? Let me give you another example. Some of you parents face this. What happens when the culture begins to clash with your values in school? When your children are forced to take classes on such things as sexuality? Do you remember the quote that I gave you a year or two ago that occurs in my book on same-sex marriage by Tammy Bruce? Now, she was the head of NOW, the National Organization for Women, in California. So she writes not as an evangelical Christian, but she is exposing the agenda. And she says the reason for teaching children sexuality in the early grades is to sexualize them so that the pornography industry will have lots of addicts in years to come to buy their products. Now that comes from her, not from someone who is an evangelical. How do you handle that? And then let's take another instance. The name of Jesus is being marginalized. It's being outlawed today. People say it's fine to give a prayer that is very ecumenical, but don't use the name of Jesus. This has been true for a long time. About 20 years ago, I was asked to pray in a political rally, and I prayed in the name of Jesus. And later on, there were some people who came and said, we expected an ecumenical prayer, but not a prayer that ended the way you ended yours. I smile when I have those kinds of situations. You always smile. And you say, you know, I don't know any other way to pray. I'm sorry, but that's who I am. How do we handle it? Well, these are the issues that we're going to talk about together today, and I hope I haven't scared up more rabbits than I'm able to shoot. But we're going to get into this whole topic by talking about taxes. Isn't that a good place to begin? That's one thing that is consistent with the Democrats and the Republicans. Both of them have our money. So now we can begin to talk taxes. The Bible passage for today is the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 22, and the issue is taxes just like it was in those days. Benjamin Franklin said that there are two things that are absolutely certain, death and taxes, but don't we wish they would come to us in that order? Somewhere along the line, we got things confused, it seems to me. Now, the Bible says in chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 15, then the Pharisees went out and plotted how to entangle him in his talk. They wanted some basis upon which to arrest Jesus, and they sent their disciples. The Pharisees didn't go alone, and they'd have been instantly recognized, and Jesus would have been suspicious of them. That's the way they reasoned. So they sent their disciples, and they joined up with the Herodians. Who are the Herodians? They are the followers of Herod the king. Remember that during this period of time, the land was completely in occupation by Rome. Every place that the Jews went, they had to be with soldiers, they had to give their identity, and the soldiers basically controlled and ruled the land. And the Herodians represented Rome, and they were greatly hated by the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Herodians were natural enemies, but when it came to doing away with Jesus, their hatred for Jesus was greater than their hatred for one another, so they teamed up and they tried to give Jesus a trick question. They sent this delegation to Jesus, and he's in the presence of the temple there. It's still Wednesday of Passover week. And the question that they ask him is simply this: tell us, what do you think? Verse 17. By the way, they flatter him first. We know that you are true and that you teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Greatest form of flattery is to ask someone's opinion. We know that you are wise. We know that you know a lot. What do you think? And they think that by flattering Jesus, he's going to give them an answer that they want. But think of what they asked him. Is it lawful to give taxes to Caesar or not? Most of them would have said, most of the Jews would have said, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the Jews hated the idea of giving taxes to Caesar. There were three different kinds of taxes. There were the taxes that were like an income tax, 10% on everything that you got from the land. And then there was another form of tax that was 1%. And then there was the poll tax. It was simply a denarius that you had to give for every single member of your family. When Jesus and his mother, when Mary and Jesus and Joseph, Jesus of course was not yet born, made that trip from the northern part of the land of Nazareth to Bethlehem, they went to be enrolled because Rome was taking a census so that they could collect the toll or poll tax. That was the purpose of the census. And the Jews hated this because in their mind that meant that they acknowledged the government of Rome, they acknowledged the authority of Rome, and they were God's people, and they hated paying this denarius for every member of their family. What about the Herodians? Well, certainly the followers of Herod, they were in agreement that the tax should be paid. After all, Rome was doing Palestine a favor in those days, and so the tax should be paid. Now think about it. If Jesus said, yes, we should pay taxes unto Caesar, he would anger the Jews and they would have him arrested. If he were to say no, the Romans would be there to arrest him for treason and sedition. How is he going to answer? Oh, the wisdom of Jesus is overwhelming. He says, give me a coin. And then he looks at the coin and says, whose picture is on the coin? Whose likeness and inscription is this? Verse 20, as if he didn't know. They said, Caesar's. And then he gives one of the most explosive comments that has implications for church-state relationships, that shows a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in terms of all of these political involvements in religion. And Jesus says, all right, you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Wow. No wonder it says at the end of the text, they marveled at him and went away. We didn't catch him. Now look at the text. Your finger in the text, please, in verse 21. When Jesus said, render to Caesar, he uses a different word than the Pharisees used when they came to him. When they came to him in verse 17, they said, tell us, is it lawful to pay taxes? They used the word pay taxes. Jesus used an entirely different word. He didn't say, therefore pay taxes to Caesar, or pay to Caesar, what is Caesar's? He said, render. Apodidomai in Greek. It means to pay back. Jesus is saying you owe a debt to Caesar. It is not only legal for you to pay taxes to Caesar, but it is also morally appropriate that you do. You owe it to Caesar to pay this tax. You render unto him what is due, and then, of course, you render unto God what is due him. So what I'd like to do in the next few moments is to outline briefly what our responsibility is to the state, what our responsibility is to God, and then we're going to talk about principles that help us resolve these conflicts. That's where we're going. You remember, it's my responsibility to speak, it's your responsibility to listen, and I've been praying that we shall end at the same time. All right? First of all, what do we owe to Caesar? Well, we owe taxes. Taxes. You know, in November we have Thanksgiving, and in April we have taxgiving. And yes, my friends, so it is. We all have the responsibility to pay taxes, don't we? And even those who tend to be exempt from the state, I've been thinking about some people who live almost an independent, sheltered life. They want no subsidies from the state, but yet they have a responsibility to pay taxes. That is very, very biblical. And even when that was written in the New Testament, it was at a time when tax gatherers sometimes were quite unscrupulous. Now, there's nothing wrong with being able to use the law to your advantage, but we should be the kind of people who pay our taxes as if we are paying them to God. And of course, next time, I hope you do tune in, by the way, because we're going to continue and talk about other responsibilities that we have to the state. The tension between the church and the state has always been a very one with a great deal of tension and questions. And certainly today, those kinds of questions are being asked more often than ever. But let me just simply say this to those who live in the United States, but also those of you who are listening in other countries. And we do welcome those of you from other countries, that when there becomes a conflict between the laws of the land and our allegiance to God, you remember where our allegiance always lies. We do have to obey God rather than men. And knowing when to draw the line and where to draw the line has never been easy. But if we pray and seek God, He'll give us the guidance in these decisions.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer introduced the last message in his series on Christians in Conflict as he spoke to us on what to do when loyalties collide. Tomorrow, more about those loyalties and when it's appropriate to obey God rather than government. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our four-part series on Christians in Conflict can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Christians in Conflict when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org, and don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.